Hey, dear friends, it is Friday night, December the 11th. Friday nights, 6 p.m. I feel like I should be on a freight train. Things move so fast during the week. Now we've come to the end. Well, listen, this is the time that I have to speak with you, to be with you. Thank you for letting me come into, well, where your computer is, where you're listening right now. Appreciate it, Steve Quayle. Thank you, survivetothrive.net. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Hundreds of downloads, a lot of free materials for you there. We have some series that were, well, they're not weekly right now because there's just a lot going out, but on the Antichrist, the rise of Homo Satanus, on spiritual discernment, and also on Psy Wars. You'll find 31 Days of Blaze also that's been put up, and the newsletter and the series on the Abyss. Once again, welcome to Friday night. Listen, we've got 1 hour to see what I believe is a supernatural and providential hand, God's hand out there, stretched out to you listening right now, and by the providence of God, that is, the good arrangement of God, many of you, literally by the hundreds and hundreds, will download this later from the archives. So we want to say welcome to you who have come a month from this date and or whatever time. It may be the direct providence of God that guides you here. Spirit of God is out seeking and drawing the world right now to Christ, even in these last days where it's tough and it's dark and it's chaotic. We have the biggest, or the, listen, it is now a time of unprecedented spiritual clash or warfare. And I hope that you know which side of the fence you're on. Tonight, this December the 11th, we're going to talk about the God particle, the Hadron Collider, CERN, the Higgs boson particle. They call it the God particle. Have they found God? Have they found God? Now, they say it's a theoretical particle, not yet nailed down. One of the scientists I was listening to said it's like a needle in 100,000 haystacks to find. But there are 6,000 scientists involved at CERN with the Hadron Collider, and they are looking for the God particle. And listen, if they do find the God particle, two things, I guess, I want to ask in this 1 hour that we have tonight. Have they actually found the being of God? And if they did, and if they do, what are they going to do with it? Is this going to be somewhat a slice of God, a sliver off, per se, his fingertips for the scientists to study? We're now dealing with, the Big Bang Theory, the idea that, again, the universe started, well, in some people's view, out of nothing, something. Now, in the view of many millions of others, in mine, you can't have something from nothing. Prior to the something that we live in right now, this ragged edge of a world, we have someone beyond natural or physical creation, though could be in it, though sustains it. We're going to talk about the very power of God that does sustain all existence. And it's in the Bible. A simple Bible study will take us there. Tonight, though, we're going to look at a few of the events that are going on. Copenhagen, 200 nations, all about the environment, really? Or is it globalism? Is there a behind-the-scenes push there, as in the meetings with the Bilderbergers and Bohemian Grove and many places like this around the world? How about on the Isle of Malta? Some of the secret places. What is happening in the Vatican deep down below in the miles upon miles of underground tunnels? St. Paul's underground, the black nobility. For many people, they see that there is some type of shadow government, some type of shadow religion, shadow military. And the evidences of those things coming together, a counterfeit spirituality, powerful but counterfeit. There is evidences of that presence and that working throughout military. There's a spiritual evolution going on in military. And without question, in the world of politics, in the world of governments, God spoke about it 3,000 years ago in Psalm 2. That's what we need to take a look at, because it involves not only what God sees, hears, and knows 3,000 years in advance, what the politicians, the nations, and the peoples are saying. Let me tell you something. God also gives a warning. God also gives an invitation. And tonight there's an invitation. We're still alive. We're still here. The end of the world has not yet come. And so please understand that we will make no bones about it, no shame here. God loves you. God does seek you. God does know who you are. There's no one that wants you more than God himself. And this is demonstrated at the cross. It is demonstrated in biblical revelation, in the will of God, desiring the totality of humanity. So listen, as we delve into some of the science that involves a search for God, that's true in philosophy. That's true in other areas where there's a constant search, a constant seeking. One of the things we got to deal with in the constant seeking, the constant search for God, is the fact that, well, step back a moment. Let's ask why the world has to seek God, search for God, look for the existence of God. Does God exist? In the series this week, we've talked about idols that can't speak, that can't hear, and that can't help. I've mentioned intellectual idols, such as atheism, being an agnostic, nihilism, or even existentialism, deism. A lot of isms out there that sometimes become the intellectual, you know, construct, something that an individual like Richard Dawkins and others are holding on to. It's their belief system. It's what they believe in. It's what they're counting on. Though, listen, in atheism, I can't even begin to understand, you know, where the hope is there, where any possible sense of assurance, confidence about eternal life, future life, could even be found. It's very hard when you whittle yourself down, get angry at God, and shut God out, saying that God doesn't exist. Really? Well, I tell you what, it seems like millions upon millions, billions around the world embracing God in Christ. But we also find that there are those who are searching and seeking and into all kinds of other things. Many years ago, I was searching for, well, whether it was meaning, whether it was, the ultimate of what was life was all about. But I mean, I did. I delved into all kinds of spirituality, all kinds of practices. They were real, but they were not right. There's another side in this world that we're living in. The ragged edge of this world is this. There's a dark agenda. And that is what is leading the world down this road to chaos. If you feel in the air and you hear it in the conspiracies and see it in the globalism, please understand that it has been spoken about. There's massive biblical revelation that gives details about the developments of the world. Information that we can have that will cause us to look out and see, well, the rise of the satanic agenda. The day is getting very, very close to the return of Christ. I'm going to tell you tonight also that the concept of the Higgs boson particle, or the God particle, or the idea of even the Hadron Collider smashing, you know, the energy together to, well, I guess, kind of go back further than a trillionth of a second. I want to go back further before the actual Big Bang and see what was there. Would it be a set of eyes looking back? Would we actually see the face of God using even a multi-billion dollar? Well, what is this? It's not a telescope. It's technology. Now, I want to tell you one of the reasons why I keep taking a look at some advanced technology. The reason I look at advanced technology is because in older occult circles, the idea behind occult circles, Luciferianism, was that the spirits were searching to give technology, to give breakthroughs, to lead mankind, and as they have specifically said, scientists, to come to the edge and bridge the gap between this seen physical world and the unseen spiritual world. Opening the doorway, bringing down the veil. That seems to be clearly the desire of the dark side. There's an agenda behind that. There might be military scientists, maybe some of the 6,000 scientists behind the Hadron Collider. Maybe there is something spiritual going on. As a matter of fact, maybe even tonight, there are those that have worked on or are working on, have been there. What's the spiritual background behind many of the scientists? Is there prayer going on? Is there a cult ritual going on? What is it they're looking for? Listen, we've heard everything from the turning on of the Hadron Collider would bring about black holes. Or, as some, and even we have talked about in the series on the Abyss, since this thing is underground and since this thing has the power to smash energy and seemingly to possibly open something dimensionally. The idea here is, will they be able to open the door to the abyss? What are the keys? Is it a combination of man's embrace of spirit-given technology? In other words, the technology has come about from, well, extra or non-human entities, so that mankind can build what it is that has been communicated. But these, well, whether they're planetary defense weapon systems or whether it's this Hadron Collider, listen, does it have something to do with the development of globalism, the opening of dimensions, the ultimate end of building the most powerful super weapons, maybe some kinds of weapons that can be shot into the air to destroy the descent of the living Christ? And if you, as a military person, haven't looked at the biblical revelation of Armageddon, the highest technology, largest military system in human history, will be guided by the most powerful, the pinnacle of satanic ritual release of supernatural power on a planetary level. That's found in Revelation 16. God's already given us a heads up of a planetary spiritual wave that will embrace every leader of the nations, well, of those who've joined together in the globalism to come. Listen, my friends, globalism has an author. That author is the prince of the power of the Eros, the spirit who is now at work in those who are still, listen, without God, in opposition to God. They are partners, literally, with what's going on in the world today. For the Luciferians out there, welcome. To the Satanists, welcome. Though you might monitor the show, even do warfare against the show, one thing I do know, the providence of God is involved in communicating to you that there's another side to the fence. Why do your demons fear? Why do they know the final judgment? Why are they in such a hurry right now? Have you experienced the breath and the power and the life of God? The invitation still to you is to come out to a pure blood, the blood of Christ. There can be changes that literally last for eternity. If you are interested in indestructible immortality, well then, my friends, It's time to take a look on this side of the river where God is, where the Christ of the cross blasted apart the finality of death in his death and resurrection. And I hope you'll take a look. I hope you'll open your heart, open your mind. For those that are seekers, I mean really honest seekers, you can either embrace the spiritual movement that is going on, predicted by God, that would be alternative, real, but not coming from God, and can't lead you to God. Leads you to a lot of spiritual experiences, but never to God. Well, that might be some of the makeup there among the scientists. Can you be a scientist and be a Luciferian? Oh, absolutely. Can you be a scientist and be a Satanist doing rituals out in the desert? Just ask old Jack Parsons, rocket scientist, right? Listen, just because a person's a scientist doesn't mean they might not be in some of the deepest and darkest of things. Their curiosity might cause them to want to check out anything and everything. I mean, they're so-called scientists that are checking out hallucinogen drugs to see where the trips will take them. Don't forget the old cliche, curiosity killed the cat. It might be that God is trying to tilt your heart and tilt your mind back to the face of the cross, where I'm going to tell you, if you're interested in the powers of God, if you're interested in the existence of God, if you are interested in the power that not only brought the physical material world into existence, the power that holds or gives consistency, then take a few moments. It's beyond just a scientific issue. Let's just say, let's just go over a few things here tonight. And by the way, again, for those who are new coming in, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web for all those who want to know what we're about, who we are. All the information is there, shatterthedarkness.net. And not only that, we will also have on that site just dozens and linked to the site, hundreds of MP3s that are free, materials that are free, a lot of things like that. We're talking about the God particle. And by the way, Sunday night we're gonna jump into the God particle in the 2-hour live show, and then all of next week we're gonna give one Monday night will be the God particle and CERN and spirituality and what's behind that. Will there really be? We're gonna go into the occult prophecy that talks about their desire to open the doors to human to scientists. To the other realm, to kind of bridge or breach the gap and bring the two together. But listen, on an occult basis, this is what Jack Parsons was into when, well, even if you look at Richard Hoagland's book, Dark Mission, it's discussion of many dark elements in NASA. Are there dark elements in the DOD and throughout, well, black ops military? Obviously, the men who stare at goats, the desire for psi powers, and the creation of super soldiers is part of the underground scheme. If we take a look at the God particle, let me just mention quickly what that's about. The Higgs boson particle is thought to be the possibility of a particle never, ever seen before. That it may be the very substance or the particle, the thing, the stuff that brought about the mass of the universe, that allows the universe to have mass, that somehow it could be that which is the field through which all other particles, atoms, molecules, so forth, moves through and gains weight, thus mass. Now, obviously, as we keep backing up and backing up and backing up and backing up. And I love the fact that scientists are backing everything up, backing all the way up to, well, what they would say is a Big Bang. That out of what they would say is out of nothing, instantaneously, beyond a mere second, shorter than that mere, like the idea of the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, things came into existence. Now, that's where most are pointing back to, that there was some kind of Big Bang. Now, when you go back to scriptures, you know, you just look in Genesis and there's the Hebrew word bara, the idea of a special act of creation. There was a sense in which at one moment there was nothing as far as material universe. At the next twinkling of an eye, or quicker than even that, substance, the particles, the atoms, the molecules, all of it, the stuff was there. And all we do now is look around and see the stars, see the universe. We stand in awe. We stand in amazement. We are absolutely awestruck by the beauty of things. Whether we're looking up into the skies or deep into the oceans, or even into the DNA of mankind. I believe it's very, very clear that there has to be some kind of uncreated creator, an infinite being with no beginning, where you no longer back up into anything. You know how little kids sometimes say, if God created us, who created God? And if somebody did create God, who created God? And if somebody, and if a God created God, what God created that God? And you can keep going back and back and back and back until you come to what some theologians called God as a necessary being. The infinite, uncreated, creator, the uncaused cause. And again, when we think in terms of the substance of God, is God made up of particles? Is God really the Higgs boson particle? Does God just somewhat fit in the scheme of the material, physical universe, existence, particles? God got a lot of atoms going around? I believe, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's no question that out of God came something. It's not out of nothing came something. Out of God came something. Here's something I want you to hold on to, think about. Is there a way, is there a machine, is there a microscope, is there a Hadron Collider that can do something that will literally peer into God, grab a hold of God? Now, let's think of it in terms for some of you that are hunters. I have a friend that was years ago trained in, even in human tracking. In law enforcement, to track those who had done something, in whether in the city or in the woods. You understand what a tracker is. And those guys that are going out and, you know, to hunt, girls too, yes. And they look at, you could look at little paw prints. You could look at a number of things to track if you're tracking. And continue to track and track. In law enforcement, it's called trace evidence. Follow the evidence. And if you keep following the evidence and following the evidence and following the evidence that's there, whatever evidence is there, it can lead you to the source of the crime, of the person, what occurred, things like that. So the idea with the Hadron Collider at CERN is the possibility that the smashing of the energy will have them go beyond anything they have ever discovered and discover what is considered theoretical, the Higgs boson particle, that some are calling the God particle. The idea that they've gotten to possibly God, his hand, his fingertip, that which originated the physical, material world. And I don't think that's what they're going to find. Even if they find this particle, I think they're finding, again, part of the substance of the material world. I think they're going to find part of the substance more. That's what they've been doing for years, finding more and more and more, of the stuff behind the physical world. And if that's what they're finding, fine. They're just, scraping at the at creation and looking at creation. It's like taking an egg and studying the shell and studying the yolk and studying the white and looking at every little piece and breaking it all down. And then going back to the chicken and then going back to that chicken, on and on and on. Chicken and which came first. Now, when it comes to the physical creation, we understand, though it being vast and massive, that it is still finite. No matter how many galaxies, no matter how many billions of planets ultimately, millions of suns, no matter how vast the universe, it is still finite creation. It is still all backing up to a moment, let me say it this way, to a moment in time when something happened. Now, remember that the Bible is not a book of physics. It's not a book written with the details of the Hadron Collider. It's a book about simply communication. God's communication, God's revelation of his nature, God's revelation of his will, his agenda, God's revelation of a spiritual war, God's revelation, yes, of the seen world and the unseen world. Let me read you something real quick. This is coming from the book of Colossians, and I would encourage scientists and others, anyone involved with CERN, Colossians chapter 1, study it deeply and take a look at the meaning of the words. I'm going to read in verse 15 down. Referring to Christ who came, the Logos became, visible. God came into human flesh. Now, I think that maybe there should be some deep study on that issue. The genetics of God. We're going to talk about that on a Sunday night. In a couple of weeks, you can find out about that on our website. But in Colossians chapter 1, we have this massive revelation. Referring to Christ, the eternal Christ, says this. He is the image, that means the visible, physical, exact image of the invisible God. Of the invisible God. Now, this is what they're shooting for. Evidence of the invisible God. Invisible to us. Invisible to our technology. Invisible to our sequence of mental, gymnastics, thinking, philosophy, to try to reach God and bring definitive information about God. But that's like you who might be listening to me for the first time ever. You're hearing this voice, but you don't know my middle name. You may not know my last name. You have no idea my age, color of hair. There's probably thousands of things you don't know about me. But in a physical world like this, there's things you can discover, things you can look up, things you can check out. And that's part of me finding out about you in relationships when a man meets a woman and they begin to say hello and it all begins to go back and forth until they're building relationship. They're literally revealing themselves more and more. And by the way, in relationships, in the beginning, we really don't reveal ourselves. We do it slowly. It's all about acceptance, rejection, love, and connection. In a fallen world where there's a lot of breakdown in relationships and all the hurts and pains that comes with it, we can understand that. But we're not talking about discovering another person. We're not talking about going back into history, finding a real historical figure, and doing a profile, getting all the information we can. We're not talking about anthropology here, where we can dig up some skulls and speak about an ancient civilization. Now we are saying finite humanity is in search of a sliver of God, of a slice of God, of the being of God. And can the Hadron Collider, can the folks at CERN, will the Energy Smasher bring about evidence of the Higgs boson particle? Number one, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it's a God particle. It may be part of the physical universe that has not yet been discovered, that involves holding the physical mass together. I'm going to say this and challenge each and every one of us. I really wonder whether man, whatever the process, whatever the technology, can, from a finite, though vast, finite ability, be able to track, find the trace evidence, and literally nail God down and put God under a microscope. Referring to Christ, my friends, the Bible says he is the image. This again, when we say Bible, the revelation of God, the Spirit of God. I would again challenge those who are seekers. Go take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3 about how the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God and has revealed the character, the nature, the attributes, the will, the agenda, and so much more. There's where you find a revelation of the vital importance of humanity. The once majesty of man, then the entrance of our misery, and the promises of hope and future glory. In first chapter of Colossians, referring to Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him, listen, by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Now that's what you're going to find in the book of Revelation. That's what you're going to find in the Gospel of John chapter 1. You're going to find a consistent revelation all the way to Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. Creation by God, Christ by God, obviously, Christ is God. The first chapter in John's Gospel reveals that. And it is the direct creation by Christ of the visible and the invisible. Please understand something. Invisible to what degree? The biggest telescope? A atom-smashing Hadron Collider? How do we nail down God? What is the substance of God? What is the being of God? Is there a sense in which we are getting close to nailing down God and that God would hide? Does God know? Like hunting down a rabbit, like hunting down a deer in the woods, getting closer and closer and closer and, you know, getting close enough for the kill. The examination of the presence behind the physical material universe. It's clearly not, if I can say it this way, not nothing that made something. It is very clear that there is someone. And again, in all of God's revelation of his nature, of his being, He's beyond the physical universe. He's beyond the concept of particles. He's even beyond, listen, the idea of Adam. Did you know that the word Adam is used in the Bible in reference to the glorification? When there is an instant, listen, in the twinkling of an eye, less than a second, there is an exertion of the power of God on an atomic level. Talk about an atom smasher. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when it refers to the mortal being, you know, changed in a flash. The Greek word flash is where we get our word atomic. On an atomic level. This is the power of God. Now listen, in the glorification of redeemed humanity, it is less than a second. On an atomic level, mortality changes beyond instantaneously. I mean, we're talking something that the scientists working at CERN are maybe looking into, a power that is exerted that will turn mortal, redeemed humanity into indestructible, eternal, immortal beings. That is the promise of what is to come. That is what Jesus... Now listen, for New Agers and others out there, this is the reason the real Christ died on that cross. It's the real reason for the power that was exerted there at the cross. He took care of sin. He took care of Satan. He took care of death. He took care of hell. He took care of the issues of eternity. He took care of the future of humankind. The existence of humankind for the future is guaranteed. Let me say it again. The future for the human race, its immortality, its existence, is guaranteed. Guaranteed by the cross. That's what I want you to look into. Guaranteed by what Jesus did. Now, prior to the cross, going to a dead man's grave, Lazarus, Jesus, God in human flesh, said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forward. Dead 4 days. Now all of a sudden his human spirit is brought back. His body is healed. He's raised from the dead. Listen, in less than a second, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live." We're talking about the ultimate power. We're talking about the power and the work that was done that breaks the separation between us and God. That breaks ultimate radical evil and the reason why we live in a fallen, pain-filled world. What happened at the cross deals with the end of all the confusion, the end of war, the end of rape, the end of racism. It involves the end of death. It involves the beginning and the eternity. Listen, this is what it's called. It's called simply Omnion Zoe, eternal Zoe. Qualitative life that comes down out of heaven in Christ. So scientists, all of your studies and all of your search, even if you find the Higgs boson particle, that would be cool. That would be something that is so incredible. I mean, listen, billions of dollars spent on it. And what will it do? Well, they say at CERN, that's the place of the beginning of the World Wide Web. It's the place of many spin-offs in the area of, things that we use in life, computers, chips, and so forth. But will it take us to God? And I think these are the questions that should be and could be answered. Will it take us to God who is different from the substance of the world or the physical world, the material world? Is God just really the extension of the material world? Is that all God is? That all we need to do is have more science and more technology and more science and more technology and more time and more testing until we get all the way into the depths of God. Because God is nothing more than an extension of the material universe. And I would say over all of this that God is beyond the substance of the physical universe, beyond the material of this physical universe. The physical world did not come from nothing. There was an act of God in less than a second. As a matter of fact, it would seem that creation occurred in the twinkling of an eye. It would seem that the new birth in Christ, when Christ comes in our heart and the human spirit is reunited with the Spirit of God, that occurs in the twinkling of an eye when a person says yes to Jesus Christ and allows and receives God's presence right deep down into their human spirit. Born again unto God instantaneously, less than a second. Hey, if you've done any studies, and scientists know this, that at the moment of conception, listen, finally, when the sperm breaks into the egg inside the woman's womb, there is an instantaneous, less than a second, seemingly, well, like an explosion. Like some kind of explosion. There, at that moment, traducinism, the human spirit is in less than a second, the twinkling of an eye, a flash, the existence of another human being. That is the life force, that is the presence, power, life behind the developing fetus. So yes, if you kill that life behind the development of the fetus, you kill a human being. No question about it, Jesus called the fetus inside the belly or the womb of the mom. He called it Braphos, living human child. Now, when we talk about the beginning of the universe, twinkling of an eye, the new birth in Christ, it occurs like in the twinkling of an eye. Even physical birth, it happens like in the twinkling of an eye. Please understand something. When it comes to the end of the age, and Christ does return, and I pray to God that scientists will listen to this for a moment, because we're talking now about the physics of God, that on some type of atomic level, maybe the very thing that you're scratching at, the God particle may be only you're scratching at more of the physical, material that has come from God. God's presence and power may be behind it, but it's not the same thing as God's nature, God's being. Bible reveals that God is spirit. By the way, those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said that in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Folks, tonight, we're just simply kind of whetting the appetite, digging into the existence of God, the possibility of man scratching at particles. So if they find the Higgs boson particle, will they have it in a little glass, well, some kind of technology, like in the movie Angels and Demons? Like in the movie where they have this energy, this presence, this possible God particle for all to see? Does it speak? Does it answer prayer? If you swallow it, do you become godlike? A lot of things we can ask. A lot of things we can look at. I know one thing, that if you're a scientist working on the Hadron Collider and hoping that it brings about the possibility of seeing or detecting through, what is it, Atlas? Detecting this particle, wouldn't it be incredible to actually have the living presence of God inside of you? Wouldn't it be incredible? Listen, I know as a believer in Christ, the Spirit of God, God has come to dwell. The Bible says that any believer in Jesus Christ, anywhere you are in the world, the Bible teaches that you are now the naos, the temple of God. God dwells in you. God dwells in you. Let me just share experientially. I know God. God dwells in me. I know God's presence. I feel God's presence. But I don't believe that that presence of God is material substance, is part of the physical universe. But I do think that a scientist that would know God, that would know the presence of God, that would enjoy the relationship between God's love in your life and God's personal presence. Let me tell you something. God's presence is feelable and knowable, and you're able to grow into the depths of the knowledge of God. In that same book of Colossians, it says that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's why I say to the scientist, to the searcher, to those who are inquisitive, that's fine. Science, study, track, look at all of it. Scratch at the material universe. Scratch at the particles and the atoms, and scratch at all of it, and look at all of it, and be in amazement. Because you're scratching at that which God has made, all the while God is scratching at your heart, scratching at your mind, knocking at the door of your being. I am confident of the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God, who is out there seeking to lead you, the scientist, to Christ. There's a little book out. You might want to Google it. It's called Scientists Who Believe. Some of the world's top scientists, believers in Christ. Don't be ashamed of real faith in God, real experience in God. There's no way I'm going to be ashamed after 37 years of knowing the living Christ, of knowing God's presence, growing in that presence, knowing that I know that I know that not only will I be there on the day of glorification, in the twinkling of an eye, less than a second, on an atomic level, mortality will put on by the infinite God's power. Indestructible immortality. So much so that biblical revelation, God has shown that you will see God face to face. Can I ask you straightforward, do you know God? Do you know the living Christ? I'm not talking about spirituality. A lot of people have spiritual things, spiritual events, spiritual experiences, spiritual cards, spiritual books, spiritual rocks. Has any of it led you to the conclusion of a knowing on the deepest level of your being that you are in a personal relationship with God, whereby God's presence is there, enjoyed, embraced, and that God can speak to you in your heart? That old rugged cross is beyond the physics behind the old rugged cross. Beyond the Hadron Collider. There the price was paid for every scientist, all 6,000 of you at CERN. Didn't cost $1 billion. but it dealt with the barrier that's there between you and God. It dealt with the evil presence that's there in the world that wants to keep you from God. You ever wonder whether or not when you turn that collider on, the super collider on, whether instead of getting a slice of God, what if it's a slice of another entity, a created entity, a fallen entity, a once anointed cherub that now is called the Prince of the Power of the, well, the Eros, the immediate atmosphere around the globe, who is supernaturally operating in the world and has an agenda to somehow, from non-human intelligence, slip over information, guide scientists in the development of certain technologies. I'll talk about this next week in an entire hour. I'm going to talk about it in a title called The Technology That Satan Desires. Scientists, the good news, the absolute news, even as already the collider failed when one's turned on, let us realize that if the collider had the ability to be turned down and really create a black hole, suck the world into it, where would it go? Where do all the people go? What happens after death, when your mom dies, when your dad dies, when family member dies? What happens to them? The soul, the person, the spirit, where do we go? Did you know the scriptures talks about those who know the Lord, those who know God, absent from the body, present with the Lord? There is an assurance. Jesus said to the thief on the cross next to him that recognized him and called him Lord and desired him. Jesus turned to him and said, only the infinite God could do this. He said to that one on the cross, because now the barrier of sin is taken care of. Now the breaking of satanic blinding is taken care of. Now the issue of death is taken care of and hell is taken care of. You know what? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. For 2,000 years now, that man lives on that side of the fence. And when Christ returns in the glorification, the sum total of all those who have listened to God, yielded God, said yes to God, embraced God, been given the gift of eternal life, in less than a second, a twinkling of an eye, on atomic level, a flash, an exertion of the power of God that is beyond the atom, that is beyond the Higgs boson particle. And in that moment, yes, it's a moment in time beyond less than a second, mortal, the idea of a rotting corpse, the idea of being in a casket, the idea of we're joined together again. There is a resurrection of the dead. Nobody in all of human history said this except Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he zoe, live. In the book of 1 John, to all those who are believers in Christ, chapter 5, the Spirit of God pens these words. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have. The word know, K-N-O-W, gnosko, the idea of an experiential deep knowing, knowing that you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. I've sat at the bedside of many, even my own grandmother, who accepted Christ into her life, had this gift of eternal life, knew at the moment of her death, in that twinkling of an eye, in that less than a second event of her leaving her body. Do we just float like smoke in the air? No. It's an instantaneous thing. absent from the body, less than a second, instantaneously, on a God level, they're now with God in the presence of God. Any believer that dies in Christ, their physical body is laid to rest, asleep until the resurrection to come. But you have gone instantaneously into the presence of God. My grandmother reached up her hand on that deathbed in the hospital, patted me on the face, told me to keep warm, and said, I've got to go now. She knew that she knew that she knew by the Spirit of God inside of her, and she left that moment. She left. Though the doctors 3 times prior used those paddles and brought her back, this time they didn't. She was gone permanently. Nothing they could do could bring her back. This was not clinical death. This was biblical death. She was gone permanently until the glorification. When Christ returns in that descent, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive shall harpezo, be forcefully, quickly caught up, all in less than a second, the twinkling of an eye, on an atomic level, by the exertion of the power of God, made eternal, indestructible bodies, no sin, no evil, no death, no hell, able to see God face to face. And in that crowd of millions upon millions upon millions of the redeemed, I shall see that grandmother who 30 years ago patted me on the face and said, I gotta go now. That's right. That's what it's all about. Read about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in reference to the parousia, the coming of the Lord, and our being gathered together. There are some things that scientists don't know. How to actually get into a relationship with God. How to actually get God inside of you. How to actually deal with the issue of the guilt of sin, the barrier. How to deal with real, dark, supernatural power that seeks to blind humanity from even coming to God. I'm going to say it again. Jesus has won for you. Jesus has come for you. And even in this moment, this great Savior, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Scientists and every other person listening, come to the living Christ. In an instant, God will come into your life. The living presence, power, forgiveness, eternal life. It's not just the physics of God beyond the capacities of man. This now is a relationship of love. God so loves you, and He wants you. My friends, this is Russ Dizdar, Friday night, December the 11th, shatterthedarkness.net. We love you tonight. Good night.